Dungeons & Dragons will begin in just a moment.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Hey, we're the Looters.
Hey, what's up?
Looters is a sci-fi western actual play podcast using the Stars Without Number system.
We're a group of friends getting into trouble all over the universe.
So come with us if you're into adventure.
A rocket flies out of one of these ships far behind you and crashes into the wall and blows up.
There's rockets?
It's Mario Kart.
Crazy.
Intrigue.
Can I hack into the body and maybe see if they have, like, a memory data bank in their brain or some shit like that that I can access?
That'll literally.
Devastating physical injury.
Just take cover.
Okay. She's a good pilot, everyone. She's very good.
And friendship.
New episodes of Looters out every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts.
The road to Wintersmith from Kingstown is a several day journey by walk, a 2 or 3 day journey by horse or carriage, and being that you're out on your own for the first time, Bizard, what is your preferred or chosen mode of transport here? Would you walk the entire way to give you time to think, give you time to plan, or would you hitch a ride on a caravan?
I would have hitched a ride with a caravan. Having had to take dealings and, like, learning how to make items and objects for the school and part of my training, I got to know some of the merchants here and there, and I got set up with a merchant that we're well acquainted. Steve's a good guy, deals in, like, metals and barrels and stuff like that. Very, very mundane kind of stuff. But so I took some of the money that I was able to acquire leaving my father's house to get a ride down to Wintersmith. Able to have a little bit of a conversation with Steve along the way to learn what he knows about Wintersmith and get an insight into some of the city and maybe where I should go, and took notes on those things. And then the rest of it kind of just, plotted my course of action for the next few months, what I wanted to aspire to. Set up my 30-60-90, let's call it that. So
yeah, that's a good plan to have when you're setting up a new business.
That's right.
Riding up next to Steve, you round a bend, and the forest before you opens into the town of Wintersmith. Often to the left of the river that you've been riding beside up to this point, there is the Noble District. And notably missing from how we've described this city is the, time so far, because we're a little bit earlier, there's no major military barracks at this point. Hmm. There is a clear distinction between the two sides of the city, so we go from the Noble District often to the north of the river and the Artisan District, which borders the river itself, which feeds off of all the trades that comes in and off of there. And then further back, which is much more obscured, and you can't quite see into the forest, into the Verboten Forest, is more of a criminal syndicate area, which Steve, in his time spent in Wintersmith, has warned you to avoid, if at least not for the first little while you get your feet underneath you. Steve pulls into the shipping lanes, basically, and he's got merchandise to offload and to sell you. You hop down off the carriage, and Steve gives you a firm handshake and says, "Well, I wish the best for you. If you need anything, I'm here once a week."
Thanks, Steve. I hope to see you again soon and hope that your, merchanting goes well. Maybe I'll ask you for some business advice. Hopefully I'll be merchanting myself soon enough. So may our paths cross again.
Yeah, you got a good head on your shoulders, kid. I hope so.
Thanks, Steve.
He gets a call from the other side of the docks and pats you on the back as you start to walk away, and you make your way into the crowded streets of the Artisan District. And the storefronts and the different displays are all overflowing into the streets, and the town is, well, it's not quite as busy as you're used to in Kingstown, but it is considerably busier than you would expect for the size of the city as it was described to you in many of your comings and goings of people who have been further than you have. You're walking through and you see smiles on everybody's faces. There's kids running around with streamers and sparklers, and one of them bumps into you and says, sorry, mister.
It's okay. Where did you get this sparkler?
There's a general store around the corner. They sell some of these cool knickknacks. Our friends really, really like them.
Do you mind if I see it real quick?
Oh, sure. And he hands it up to you, and it's fizzing down to the end.
I take it, and I wrap my hand around it and whisper some soft words. And I whisper, Ignatius. And it kind of flares back up, creating like these little butterflies of fire that like float off of it. And I hand it back to him as they just kind of wisp around.
Wow. Oh, come look at this. And a few more kids run over and they say, he turned it into butterflies. Thanks, mister. And they all run off and you see the butterflies floating away as they run off into the distance.
I continue my way down the streets and kind of rub my temple slightly, and my eye winces as I walk away.
You're at a fork in the road, and off to one side you hear the cacophony of blacksmith and farriers and the carpenters and the metal workers, and you hear coming from a district known as the Hot Block.
Hot Block.
But as you're starting to walk down there to see what you can see, you turn and you look down Charles Street. And down at the end, your eye is caught by this very small storefront, which doesn't even look like it's been occupied for quite some time. You make your way down there, and it's sandwiched between two very busy shops. One, a hair salon, the Snip and Twirl, and another looks like a tailor, with many people coming out who are now in freshly adorned clothes. It's called the Threads of Fate. And as much as there is happening on either side of them, this unoccupied little plot of land is calling to you.
Kind of look it over, notice the awning out front of it is a little like off kilter. Maybe the wood has rotted away slightly. The metal joist that is holding it together has rusted and rotted away as well. The shingles are half missing. There's a broken window. And I look at it and I say, I must have her. She will be mine. This is my place. No other will be it. Who do I talk to? Who do I talk to? One of the business owners must know. Certainly this place wouldn't cost too much. And I look at my clothes covered in road dirt and then catch my reflection in the remaining glass of the window, seeing my very messy tangle of hair. And I say, I don't feel comfortable walking into either of those places. But if we're going to sell, the first thing we must sell is ourself. We're worth it. Mom believes in us. We should believe in us. And I flip a coin, and I turn to the Snip and Twirl, and walk in.
And as you walk in, the scene of this small shop fades, and it fades into a storefront that is equally bustling as the Snip and Twirl and the Threads of Fate. And a sign hangs above the storefront door as children and their parents are rushing in and out of the door. What does the sign look like and say?
The sign says, The Magic Closet. And the imagery on it is literally a child's room. It's actually my room. And inside, you can see next to the bed, there is an open door leading into a closet with not clothes, but a sparkler with flaming butterflies coming off of it, dancing around. And as it blows in the wind, hangs there, kind of moves, it almost gives the essence of the butterflies dancing around. And a child sitting in this closet below them, eyes in wonder.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons, a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, he, him. And Dungeons & Dragons stars today, Kyle Classett, as Bizard the Wizard.
I don't like to say anything is impossible, so we'll see.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production, and we make a whole bunch of different shows. You should check out Facing Fate, where we play a bunch of different games. It's all improvised still, and it's a lot of fun. Go check that out. But then join us over on Patreon, where you can help us build the world we're creating here, as well as listen to a whole slew of other bonus content. It's a whole other show over there. All right, fuck it, let's play! The magic closet's been open for a good year, and it's been a prosperous year. Your skills and your joy for life and fun and happiness has spread throughout the city, and you are a frequent stop by not only many of the children in town, but just about everybody has been there at least once. But many come on regular occasions for the latest knickknacks and small magical toys and artifacts that can bring their party and their day to life and just bring a smile to them.
Yes. Yes. The arcane accoutrement.
It is an incredibly busy day for you. Things have been cleared off the shelves. You're down to the last few little pieces, and it's just about closing time as you see the final customers out the door. And as you go to shut and lock it, there's a hand that comes and pushes on the door as if trying to enter and says, Excuse me, pardon me.
Sorry, I did not mean to catch your hand in the door. Please come on in. I have a few more minutes, and of course, I'm not going to be going anywhere else after this. I was just going to be heading up for a nice cup of tea. So please, come into the magic closet. How can I help you today?
Entering is the Sheriff of Wintersmith. He's dressed in the finest garb. He has gold-plated armor, and he's followed by two burly guardsmen. He has a giant handlebar mustache and a small soul patch that extends down his chin, and his hair is completely slicked back, and he is holding underneath his arm a well-sculpted helmet. He says, "You're relatively new in town." "Well, the new mayor, Nigel Knops, he's putting in some new taxation forms. Not sure if you've heard of them. They were released at the latest business association meeting, but wanted to make sure that you had those ready, as today is due day." Rolls up his sleeves as if as he and the other two men are pushing their way a little further into your store.
"Oh, well, I business has been rather good, and yes, I've only been here a little over a year now at this point, but Wintersmith has been very kind, very welcoming, feels very much like a second home already. So I certainly wouldn't want to take away from the prosperity of the city, and unfortunately, due to my business, I was not able to make the business meeting, but that is well within your right as a governmental entity to impose taxes upon the businesses that do businesses within them. I only ask, two things. First, that is a dapper cut you have, and quite a... I wish I could grow a nice mustache and beard like you have there. Did you happen to stop at the Snip and Twirl earlier to get a touch-up? Because it absolutely looks fantastic. Very suiting, very suiting."
"Very kind of you to say. And Sheriff Celador."
"Oh, Sheriff Celador. Of course. Heard the name. I think it's probably a good thing I have not had the pleasure to meet you. Yes. I feel like most would probably be on the wrong side of meeting you, yes?
Yes, yes. Now, most of the people who meet me end up on the blocks, unfortunately, and we don't want that to happen to you now, do we?
Oh, most certainly not. Most certainly not. But I would ask a second thing, and that would be an opportunity to have an audience with the mayor. I would love to be able to discuss an arrangement, because I understand that not many do what I do in this city. And in fact, when I say not many, I mean no one. Mm-hmm. No one can.
Yeah, there's a certain niche that you've managed to fill, and fill quite well.
Perhaps an agreement between me and Mayor Knops could be reached to where I provide certain services in lieu of being taxed. This would be his decision. I don't expect you to speak for him. It would be very preposterous to expect you to be able to give me an answer right now. So if you would grant me that window of time to meet with the mayor, I will arrive to the meeting, taxation in hand. And I only hope that I'm able to leave with it in hand and an accord struck between the two parties. Would this be something you could grant, or would you have to return to the mayor to get approval?
Oh, we can make an arrangement. I don't know about leaving with it in hand, but if you think you can sweet-talk the mayor, unlike anybody else before you, absolutely, absolutely. He's, well, he's taking advantage of his first term here. He's trying to make a good impression on the city, and part of that is not bending to too many people, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. My father was a businessman in Kingstown, and paying taxes was a normal part of business, something that I helped him out with regularly. So I understand the necessity for a leader to be unbending, as you put it. Now, one thing I do know is I've seen about every face in this town, whether they be on the good side of the law or the bad side of the law. I've met and talked with a lot of people in the little bit of time I've been here. So a point of communication that reaches far and wide is certainly beneficial for somebody in power to learn things from. And that doesn't even account for the magical abilities that I can provide. You see, my magic comes at a price. It is not just done on a whim. And if their quest is made, and I owe a favor to the mayor, then I suffer the cost.
Of course.
These wrinkles here, you think they're laugh lines? No, they are payment. Now, they make me look dapper, yes, but they're not supposed to be there quite yet. This is the price I pay.
You bring the tax payments and we'll see about what arrangement you have for the mayor.
I really appreciate the wiggle room, Sheriff Celador, and it was a fantastic first meeting. I'm sure we will have plenty of future meetings if I have my way. And they will all be... I think we'll make better friends than you think we will. And if you are ever having a party, please, please, please come see me. I have some things that would absolutely dazzle your guests. I would love to show them to you, but as you can see, the shelves are quite bare from today's work. That being said, if you'd like to purchase, I have some little poppers. You throw them on the ground, they pop, make a loud thing. You know, if you're looking for something for... Do you have kids?
I do. Two of them.
If you want something to entertain your children, wait, what are the names? I may have met them before.
Jace and Testa.
Jace and Testa. Okay, well, I know that they have not gotten these yet, so you bring these home, and I reach down and I grab a little box and I put them in his hand and say, you bring these home. They will be marveled. You will be the cool dad.
He looks down at them and shrugs and says, if you say so. Slips them into his pocket and says, tomorrow, 3:00.
tomorrow, 3 o'clock. I'll make sure doors are closed and the coffers are packed in case things don't go the way I hope they do. Because again, no need for me to be on the wrong side of the law here. I've enjoyed my time in Ventersmith. Y'all have created a fantastic town.
All right, guys. Next house. And they open the door, and without turning back, he calls, "Tomorrow. Don't be late."
Wouldn't dream of it. Have a great day. Ta-ta.
It's the middle.
Welcome to the middle, everybody. How you doing? Thanks for being here. Hopefully you're having just the most wonderful time. That's what I'm putting out into the universe. How about you?
You're having the most wonderful time.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Permanent
I'm hanging out with all my
Kyle
buds.
Kyle Classett is here.
Oh, hey. Kyle Classett's here.
How's it going?
It's a great time.
Glad to be here. I'm never going anywhere else.
Never going anywhere else. I mean,
I got him back here as long as
you
want.
I never get off the call. I'm just always here, and y'all just happen to join on.
Just
and
keeps the room alive.
We change rooms every single time too. But he's got must
here.
Have like lots open.
It's amazing.
Always going.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah,
exactly.
Really loving getting to know Bizzard the Wizard more. Which Tom, you when you came onto the call, you gave an interesting interpretation of that name.
Yes, I went with Bizard.
Bizard.
Oh,
Bizard.
I mean, but weren't you part of the original conversation?
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But Tom, I rolled in and I was like, I like the sound of that
Tom
today.
Tom is okay. also the yeah. one who refuses to pronounce flamikins.
True.
So,
yeah.
No. I don't know what you're referring to, Russ.
Tom will just make a small decision and just roll with it forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
Amy's not here
how
right
I live
now,
my life.
But maybe she'll roll in later like the last one. Who knows? We'll see how that goes. But what we want to tell you is next month, helmed by our regular cast member, Kyle Classett, is we will begin our Cyberpunk Red sessions with our session zero, where we come up with characters and life paths and all that sort of cool stuff. And it's very exciting.
Heck yeah.
It was so fun. I'm so excited for everyone to hear it, and I'm so excited to start playing. Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm so stoked. After doing the life path, and you like go through, and it's so comprehensive, it's so great.
Very in depth,
yeah. And we're like really molding who we are before anything happens, and I'm really excited. There's like some animation I need to watch. There's some books I need to read. It's good.
The Netflix series, Cyberpunk Edgerunners. First episode, watched it. It's such a scary world. I knew, but I didn't know.
Yes, it can be very, very dark, very bleak, but that's okay. We can bring some levity to it and still have a lot of fun.
And that's exactly what we're going to do. So when you sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, you get a 7-day free trial, which is great. Come in, dip your toes, test the waters, and then you'll be like, well, of course I'm staying like Kyle does. And also, when you're a patron for 3 months, we ship you merch. It's either a sticker at the $5 tier. I forgot.
Mug?
A mug? Yeah, a mug at the supporting producers tier and a sweet, pristine white hoodie at the game time tier, which I've gotten a little bit of flack for. Everybody's just saying that they're trash goblins and they can't.
It looks great.
It does, right?
I personally will never wear a white shirt because if I do, it's like, why am I eating curry today?
Yeah.
Like, why was today the day? It's spaghetti.
I went out for that
curry.
Turmeric curry, of
it's
course.
100%. It's like, haven't worn the shirt in months. Why did I do this?
Yeah.
I got to say the combo of getting a mug, which you usually hold coffee or tea in, and then a white hoodie. It's
also
like,
dangerous.
What are you doing? Great point.
Yep. Damn straight. You're just up in the game. So patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. We hope to see you over there. We're going to have a lot of fun with Cyberpunk. We'll drop some teasers and stuff in the main feed just to wet your palate and stuff and make you feel like you're missing out. Because that's what we like to do sometimes.
Unless you're not missing out because you are a patron. And if you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you.
What a call out to Russ to say,
Carla,
you don't
coming
have
in
a
to
name.
Close the game.
Stall for time. But. Oh, shit. No, I can't. Oh, no.
Come on, Russ.
Look, I got to go into like select menus to make sure that I'm pulling from the
right
list.
I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm glad I remembered, but also I'm sorry.
You did.
I'm pretty glad, though, because it's not often we get to like getcha on Russ.
Yeah.
So.
100%. Yeah.
Like today's patron, Isaiah Yarbrough.
Ooh. Thanks, Isaiah.
Thanks, too Isaiah. Cool, Isaiah. Do you think that's like a rock star person? It's don't you think that sounds like a British rocker?
Oh, I was going to say like British naval officer.
Oh.
That's got to be it.
Slash rocker. Cool secret identity,
either or,
Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rocking the seven seas.
That's right.
Thanks, Isaiah. Join us today, patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, just like Isaiah, and you'll get a mug that you can drink hot coffee in a white sweater in. That's the sell. All right, thanks everybody. Back to the episode. Bye now.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network.
Strange happenings are occurring in the world of Exandria. Slayed creatures and beasts from days of yore are returning to the land of the living, and it's up to a band of unlikely heroes to re-slay them. Welcome to the Re-Slayer's Take.
Join Jasmine Bular, Jasmine Chung, Jasper Cartwright, and Caroline Lux alongside Game Masters Nick Williams and me, George Primavera, in this Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition role-playing adventure through Critical Role's fantasy world of Exandria. But don't worry, you won't need to know the rules to follow this story. All you need to know is that nothing the players do is scripted or planned, and their fates are determined by their own cleverness and the roll of a 20-sided die.
So what the heck are you waiting for? Adventure awaits in the Re-Slayer's Take.
New episodes drop weekly on Mondays wherever you stream your podcasts.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
We flash forward some 12 years, and the streets of Ventersmith are empty as we move through the artisan district and over the bridge towards the noble side of town, where everyone has gathered to hear the latest and greatest buzzworthy speech from Mayor Knops. Taxation has gone up yet again, and the mayor has just finished his speech, which ended in the press grilling him on questions of what is to come of all of these tax increases, where do they go, when everyone looks around and can clearly see that the noble region of Ventersmith is quite prosperous, with its practically gold-laden streets and giant monumental statues of the mayor throughout the noble town square leading up to City Hall with its glorious fountains. And as these bombardments of boos and heckles come from the crowd, Mayor Knops is rushed away by his closest few. A short and slender woman with a well-groomed, black-haired bob cut. She whisks him away, and he is quickly wrapped up by some guard. And we look
And part of this group, along with a few administrators, is Bizard. Nina, the woman, is quickly rushing past you, Bizard, and you hear her quickly saying,
"No, no, dear. No, no. It went very well. They heckle because they love you, dear. It will be totally fine. Come on, Bizard. We have to lighten his spirits. It will be fine. Everybody, everybody, come quick back to City Hall."
"Absolutely. You only receive criticism because you are taking bold strokes. People just can't see the vision that you have for the city. They don't understand that these taxes will trickle down to their parts of the city. It's just a matter of time for these things to happen. And, you know, people aren't patient like they used to be."
"Oh, no, they aren't patient like they used to be, are they? No, all they want is more, more, more. But they don't know how hard it is to run a city."
"They don't. And you have to forgive them that. That's not something that they have the wherewithal to understand. You know, you having the experience you have, me being from a large city and understanding the ins and outs that it takes to run a business in a city like Kingstown, you know, this is one of the reasons why you come to me for this kind of advice, this kind of insight. You know, you can trust me to be 100% honest with you. If I thought you were doing something wrong by the people, then I would say something."
"Oh, well, yes, you've been 100% honest with me since the first day we met. You came in, you told me how you were going to turn that artisan district around, and oh, by golly, you sure have done that."
"It's true.
I haven't really convinced them that that everything is for the good, though."
"Listen, we convince people through their mood. When people come through the artisan sector of town, they stop by my shop, I show them a good time, I get them set up with wonderful magical trinkets that bring a smile to their face. The people are smiling, they're happy. That's that's 1 + 1, Mayor Knops."
Well, it would be nice to see more smiling faces in the crowd. Think about it next time. Maybe we need some of those sparkly bangers that go off right as I'm coming out. You know, big flames. I think yes. Flames coming out would be good.
Agreed.
Really establish power. I mean, a good time. Not power, not dominance. Nina tells me that those are not, the words I need to use.
"Yes, no, I understand what you were saying, and I would love to arrange that for you. If you could provide me a small stipend to be able to gather the resources together, my trusted traveling merchant, Steve, would be able to procure some items from Kingstown to bring to me from the college I attended there. And how much would you be willing to provide? I think 100 gold. I know it sounds like a lot.
100 gold?
But 100 gold could...
100, what could you do with 100 gold?
Yes, darling, what could you do with 100 gold? That's a lot of money for one speech.
Well, see, the idea is that the 100 gold would lay the bedrock. We would be able to reuse some of the materials in the grandiose nature of your presentation and speeches.
Uh-huh.
It would essentially pave the way for future ones. We could reuse some of the vessels that I would store the magic materials and components inside for them to pop out of. So the only expendable part, I'd probably say, moving forward, after this stipend, we would merely need maybe 10 gold per speech.
Yes, 10 gold is better, but yeah, okay, if you say that this will establish the bedrock, that's what you said, establish the bedrock, for moving foundations, future moving foundations, yes, Nina, see that he gets the money, and as you are walking up the grandiose staircase towards City Hall itself, he says, see that he gets the money, and no questions from anybody else in the press, and he storms inside City Hall. Nina says, yes, come with me, Bizard, we will get you your money, and she leads you back to her office through the winding hallways and says, I am on to you, without looking at you, as she slowly closes the door behind you as you enter her office.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Nina.
Well, Bizard, you have been pulling the wool over the mayor's eyes for quite some time. There's something more to you and your offices, I think.
You're free to think that. And If that's what you think initially, I'm not even going to try to dissuade you of that line of thought, because that would put me on the defense, and I have nothing to defend. So, play your game. I'll continue living my life and serving Mayor Knops as I think is best. Mm-hmm. Which I know you're going to do too. We're both here for Mayor Knops. You want to see what's best for him, and you don't think I have his best interest at heart, but you don't know my heart. You don't know why I'm here. Not truly.
No, I don't know why you're here. I know why lots of people are here, darling. Mm-hmm. I'll figure you out.
I welcome the challenge. I welcome you to try to figure me out. The graduates from Bernhardt Swan School of Magic, Fighting, and Dance are not so easily classifiable. Did you hear the three different sectors of education that they offer there? It's really quite a plethora. I could go into the history of it if you'd like me to while you get the money together.
Yes, darling. No, don't worry about it.
Back in the day, Bernhardt Swan
School of Magic, Fighting, and Dance. Don't worry. Here's your big bag of money. She throws down a large coin purse that just echoes throughout her office and says, go get your goods. There's another speech in 2 weeks. I expect that it'll be much better than this. Is fun.
Night and day difference. Night and day difference, Nina. I promise you will even be impressed. Which I know is hard to do. Well,
she stares you down.
I don't like to say anything is impossible. So we'll see. Have a good day, Nina, and we'll be seeing each other soon, I'm sure.
Goodbye, Bizard.
Ta-ta, Nina.
You quietly close the door behind you and you head back down the staircase and over the bridge towards the artisan district. It's not how you remember, though. Everybody is dispersed. Everybody has gone home, but there's not as much joy as the days that you first came here. People are tired. They're worn down. Their businesses, even you have noticed, like, you still manage to maintain a pretty steady business through, you know, adventurers passing through and just the local kids spending whatever coin they may have left on sparklers and fake vomit. But it's a different place. And as you come back to the magic closet and unlock the door, you turn and you look out to the streets and nobody's rushing up right now.
Hmm. Oh, this. Mom, I feel what I do is wrong, but I'm doing it for the right reasons. I wish she would send me a letter back. It's been longer than I care to admit. Maybe Steve will check on her for me. I begin to gather some of the coin as I enter in and kind of separate it out into smaller, you know, purses and whatnot. 5, 10 here. And I begin to make my way around to the other businesses and walk in very chummy. Of course, go into the Snip and Twirl first and go up to the cashier and say, I need to speak with your proprietor. Elandra, will you go get Syndra for me, please?
Oh, yeah, of course, Bizard. And she goes and runs quick, and after a moment, Syndra comes out, and this overwhelming smell of lilacs, perfume that Syndra's well known for in the town, just bursts through the back door and says,
Bizard, what can I do for you?
Syndra, it's finally come back around. I've managed to take care of some things that we had talked about before. I know what's happened to the businesses here, and I understand the appearance of my involvement in it. And I want you to know it's not as it seems.
You're not in the back pocket of the mayor?
Oh, I know. I mean, I am absolutely 100%, but It is not for the reasons you may think. And I want to show that to you, who showed me kindness upon arriving to town, who got me set up, took my tussled mop of hair and managed it into something that was sellable amongst the people here. And same with Elvira over at the Threads of Fate, getting me set up with new clothes that definitely had more of an appeal than the mud-strewn olive green and burlap brown that I was wearing when I arrived that day, too. I don't like to look back on those times. My clothes were absolute trash. That being said, I've kept a book, and I want you to reach out to... I know it's hard doing deals with Kenny. I know we don't necessarily like it. It's seedy. But I feel like Kenny would at least understand keeping morale in the city and keeping money in the hands of people that could use it towards his benefit more than the mayor.
Right.
I feel like money flowing in his direction is better used and better received by the town. So I've kept this book. I want you to work with me to return some of the taxes that have been taken from businesses so that they can improve their situation. This isn't going to solve the problem. I know it's not.
No, it won't.
But hopefully it's a step in the right direction. After you close today, come by my shop. We'll get things figured out, lay out the details, and make sure that we can remain as subtle about this as possible.
Make a persuasion roll.
Ooh.
With advantage, because of the rousing history between you two.
Okay. 15.
Okay, Bizard. I'll come.
Only if you're comfortable. I don't want you to feel like you're putting yourself in danger. I don't ask that of you.
No.
And as far as I'm concerned, I haven't talked to you today.
Talk to who? I'll come after. We'll talk about your plans, and we'll see what we can do. Getting Kinney involved is a... even for the right reasons.
It's risky.
It's a dangerous thing, you know that.
Right. But Kinney's the one person that Nops won't mess with. We know this.
You're right.
And...
Okay.
Yeah. Do we want the witch or the devil?
That is the question.
Let's hope we answer it correctly.
She looks down, and Landra, who was previously in the back, comes back up front and says, "Well, you look like a mess. Why don't you come back? I'll give you a snip. Close up for the day, and we can have that conversation."
That's too kind of you. Too kind of you. Yeah, just a little off the top and give it a nice quaff, and I think I'll be right as rain to deal my wares another day.
She takes you by the hand and leads you into the back room to get your hair cut as we fade out on this scene. Dungeons & Dragons Season 3, Episode 11. This episode starred Kyle Classett as Bizard the Wizard and Russ Moore as your Dungeon Master. Also, Amy, Tom, and Carla were hanging out in the middle there. Dialogue editing by Carla Maxted and sound design by Russ Moore. This episode featured music from Epidemic Sound and sound effects from Epidemic Sound, Boom Library, and Sound Ideas. Our amazing cover art and character designs are by Matt Garbutt. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Gabriel Lynch, Jessica Babiak, Kat Waterflame, Jacob Madden, Christian Brown, Craig Zeiss, Perry Mady, Ongeron Kiersen, Old School Gamer D, L.A. Branton, Nathaniel Teeter, Luna, and Aaron. And a huge thank you from Twiglets for the name Rinkip Celador, or Sheriff Celador, who we may be hearing from more in the future, but the Sheriff of Past Fintersmith, as well as Cat Waterflame, who gave us the name Syndra, smells of lilacs, for no discernible reason. It's just something that goes along with her. Come on now, keep up. I think that was all. We covered a lot in these two episodes with Kyle, and we look forward to covering even more. If you want to help us build the world, you can join us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast, where there's a form right there at the top. You give us your thoughts, and it's a great time, because then we put your names and your shops and all that sort of stuff into the world, the Fintersmith that we're building. I can't wait for the next episode. We might get to meet all four characters in one place.
It's going to be a great time. What can you do while you're waiting for the next episode? Well, aside from joining Patreon, is you can join our newsletter. There's a link down in the description to a link tree, and it'll take you right there. Well, it'll take you to a link that'll take you right there. The world is built in links, okay? You know how the internet works. Or you can go to dumbdragons.com, and on the contact page, we've got a sign up for it there. That's it, though. Hopefully you're having a great week. I know we are, because you're here listening to us. So you continue to have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. Bye for now.
I'll get you your meeting with the mayor. You bring tax. You bring tax. You bring tax.
You bring tax, me sheriff.
Yeah, me sheriff. You bring tax.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Hi, folks. Let me see if I can sum up Midnight Burger in about 25 seconds.
Really big monster!
Zero irony.
Pardon me, Gloria. Might my husband and I have a word?
The radio is talking to me.
So this is how it ends. Eaten by wolves in space.
There's a pocket dimension in the deep freeze.
This is the stupidest dystopia we've ever been to.
What the hell is that?
Because you're having a cigarette? In 415 million BC.
Where are we?
Space.
Can you narrow that down?
The bad part?
Ava.
Yeah, that didn't work at all.
At the nexus of all things, there is a diner. Look for Midnight Burger on your favorite podcasting app or just go to weopenat6.com.